Let's go to the Lord in prayer.
Just one more time.
Heavenly Father, Lord, I just want to come to you just once more, Lord. We ask that you open up your word this morning, that your people might hear, that the preacher might come, Lord. We just ask that your anointing be upon this word, that it might fall on good ground. In Jesus' precious name, pray. Amen and amen.
Amen.
God is good, isn't he?
Awesome.
Last week, ministered on the message of the Church of Sardis. And, you know, that's a heavy word for any church. But this week, you know, we have to understand, we understood last week what had happened with Sardis. And that's why I preached on the sermon, Strength of the Things Which Remain and Are Ready to Die. And last week we learned that Sardis failed. For many reasons, it had given up and went away the way of the world, and others had become complacent and lazy and had stopped looking and stopped watching for his return. This morning, we will identify the gospel killer, the church destroyer, and what causes the dead church to become alive once more. Turn with me, if you would, to Galatians. And I'm just going to read a verse in Galatians chapter 1 before we get to our text this morning. But the church of Galatians, it was a fairly new church. It had lots of new converts, and as we know, the devil, when there's someone that gets saved, he tries to take the seed away or try to twist it. We learned that in Matthew chapter 13 and verse 19, the word of God reads, "But anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he that would receive seed by the wayside." That's an accurate description of the church of Galatians. They had received the word. They actually had received the word by Paul, and Paul preached the gospel to them correctly. They learned the word of God. They knew the word of God. But we find the church of Galatians quickly going down a different path. We find the church of Galatians allowing the enemy to come in and teach them other words, teach them another gospel. In Galatians chapter 1 and verse 6, we find the condition of the church of Galatians. It says, "I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you, let that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed." Verse 9, "As I said before, and I say now again, if any man preach another gospel unto you than what you have received, let him be accursed." This morning I'll be ministering on a message entitled, "Who Hath Bewitched You?" You see, we can learn from the church of Galatians, because what caused them to go away is the same thing that killed Sardis. What caused them to lose their walk in a way is the same thing. They let the enemy come in. Turn with me now to Galatians chapter 3 and verse 1. Galatians 3 and 1 is where we'll be taking our text this morning. But we understand the condition of Sardis. Paul is coming to the Galatian church, and he is really, truly shocked. He doesn't understand how a church that was founded by the true word of God, he doesn't understand how people were able to get saved, get filled with the Holy Ghost, get on the right path, and just a few months later, be totally going in the wrong direction. To him, it's shocking. He doesn't understand how it's possible. That's why he would say, "I am surprised that you are so far removed. How did I start you here and you end up here? How did I start you on the right path, and how did you get to where you are today?" And the truth is the same. People came after Paul. People came after Paul's doctrine and began to teach them things which Paul had not taught them. I want you to understand something this morning. God makes it easy for us to believe. Man makes it hard for us to walk. God makes it so simple to be saved. Man, if you give it to him, will twist it, make it a mess, and make a relationship a religion. And when you forget about your relationship with God Almighty, and religion becomes more important than your relationship with God Almighty, you've gone down the wrong path. Religion, by definition, is just a series of beliefs and works. That's what religion is. Relationship will produce fruit and works and in the right way. But we find Paul's message is faith in Christ and Christ alone. How many of y'all know how you're saved? How are you saved?
By my faith, by my belief in the Word of God.
By his faith and by his belief in the Word of God. That's absolutely correct. We are saved by faith. But somehow, the church has gotten a hold of the Galatian doctrine. The Galatian doctrine was simple. Yes, you have to have faith in Jesus, but you also have to have something else. You got to do this list of works, this set of law. And when we allow something to come in, something that is pure, it defiles the whole thing. So we're going to learn in Galatians to stick to the true gospel. To stick to the truth. And Galatians chapter 1, verses 1 through 5 read, O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ had been evidently set forth, crucified among you? This only would I learn of you, received ye the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Are you so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? Have you suffered so many things in vain, if it be yet in vain? He therefore that ministereth you the Spirit, and worketh miracles among you, doeth he do it by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Now this morning, as I said, the gospel is so simple, we make it hard. Jesus, throughout his ministry, what did he tell people to do? Believe. He taught people to have faith. He taught people to trust in him. The enemy will always try to pervert the gospel, and if allowed, will cause people to go astray. You see, when the people came after Paul, they weren't stupid. They didn't totally denounce what Paul had said. They just added something to it. Well, yeah, have your faith in Jesus, but also do this. Have your faith in Jesus, but if you're really saved, you have to perform these works. You have to do these things or you will find yourself not saved. So they came and they preached the Mosaic Law along with Christ's Law. Let me tell you something. The two don't go hand in hand in the sense of if any man tries to be justified through the law, he's a debtor. And we must understand that we're justified and saved all through faith. Well, preacher, what does this mean? Why is this so important that we understand this? Do you realize that it's a slap in God's face when you try to do something more perfect than what he's already done? Jesus said, I've come to fulfill the law, not to destroy it, but to fulfill. When the law has been fulfilled, he has established it, and all we do is thank him for it. But in the Galatian church, they started off understanding that every single thing they had came through Christ and him crucified. And Paul said, if someone else comes preaching, you have to believe in Christ and him crucified and then do something else, let them be accursed, let them be written off, let them be done away from you. Because anything that is not Christ and him crucified is another gospel. God wants you to be dependent on him and him solely. But when you look at the Galatian church, Paul asked them a question. You started off in the Spirit, right? If we want to see heaven, if we want to be in heaven, Jesus said, no flesh can enter the kingdom of heaven, but you must be born of water and of the Spirit, correct? So we first understand that the work was begun in the Spirit. If God has performed his work in us, in the heavenlies, why on earth do you think that you can add something to it? Can you add anything to your faith? Can you make yourself one bit better? Can you do anything that God has not already prescribed in his will for you to do? Can you make yourself any better than what God can make you? If the work is started by God, if the work is started by God, it's got to be finished by God. But the problem is when saints get saved, they automatically think they got to do something. We have to do something to prove our love to the Lord. The bottom line is this, the Lord has proved his love to us, and the way that we prove our love to him is by saying, thank you, Lord, for what you've done. What you did, I could not do. Do you realize that? That we cannot do what God has done. Amen. Only one person can pay the price for sin. Only one person can raise from the dead. And that's the one person that was perfect from the day he lived to the day he died to the day that he was risen. We cannot do what Christ has done. But see, the Galatian church, they thought they could add something to it. They added religion. They added works. They allowed the Judaizers to twist what was pure. So Paul's question is this. He first calls them foolish, stupid, unlearned, misguided. Who has bewitched you? Who has used their persuasion, or who has used their charm to change your mind? He said that you should not obey the truth. You see, when you go against God's plan of salvation, sanctification, justification, and glorification, you are disobeying the truth. The church has disobeyed the truth of Christ and crucified, and I've gone totally to another thing. I have no idea what the church believes salvation is anymore. Is it works or is it faith? Is it faith or is it works? Or is it one or is it the other? And there's so much confusion that they choke the Spirit of God from working how God would like to work. And he says, before whose eyes Jesus Christ has evidently set forth crucified among you. Meaning you saw this for your own eyes. How are you so silly? How are you so foolish? So he poses them a question. He says, teach me this. Did you receive the Spirit because you were so good? Did you receive the Spirit because you were so wonderful? Did you receive the Spirit because you kept the Ten Commandments? Did you receive the Holy Ghost because you had witnessed to 10,000 people and they all got saved through your ministry? Teach me this, he said. Did you receive the Spirit through works of the law or by the hearing of faith? What did you do to be saved? Did you work your way to salvation, or did you hear the word of God being preached and God bear witness in your heart and you gave your life to Jesus? If that's how you started, was by hearing, if that's what caused you to become saved, if that's what caused you to become alive, keep doing the same thing. The moment that you stop doing the thing that you did when you got saved is when you become dead. It's when you turn your back on the truth. The truth is, I couldn't save me. You couldn't save you. You couldn't get yourself out of the pit that you were in, and you can't get yourself out of the situation you're in now. The only way that we have any growth with God is by trusting and having faith in Him. Amen. Is that so hard to believe? It was for the Galatians. Well, Paul, here's the argument. If we're saved, then we should do these things. If you're saved, you should read your Bible and pray and fast and do all these things. You should keep the commandments of God, because if you're saved, that's just proof of it. That's not what's happening in Galatians church. They put the emphasis on you must do the works in order to receive favor from God. You must do the works, and yes, God will help you do the works, because that's why you have to have faith in Jesus. It was so subtle how it was mixed in. That's why it was called not another, but of the same womb, of the same type. There is nothing you can do to save yourself. You play no part in your salvation. You didn't play any part in Jesus being sent. For God so loved the world that he gave his own begotten Son. For God so loved the world that he was bruised. He was hung on a tree. For God's love for the world. It was God who sent. It was God who called. It was God who raised. We had no part to play in. But there are individuals that believe that they are made better by doing works. And it's essential for you to understand that when a person is saved through faith, works follow. But they are a byproduct of your relationship with God. But these individuals thought that the product was more important than the provider. They tried to have the fruit of the Spirit by leaving the Spirit behind. These were churches that had a choir and had a preacher and had music and had programs and had functions and had festivities, but they forgot the Spirit. They were doing all these things, not being led of God, not being led of the Spirit. They were just works, good works. They were just things that were good. Let's go to the hospital. Let's go see the old folks. Let's just do these good things. But any work that is not birthed by God, that God didn't say, my spirit sent you forth, is just a work in vain. You see, they have begun to do good things because the law is a good thing. Don't steal. Love your neighbor. Don't use the Lord's name in vain. Don't give an adultery. The law contains God's standard of righteousness, but it's fulfilled by Christ. Amen. Now, what I'm trying to say is this. The moment you leave faith, the moment you say, God, I can do it myself, you'll find yourself cut off from the true vine. What causes a church to be dead is being cut off from the true vine. Remember in John 15, when he says, without me, you can do nothing. Without me, you can do nothing. Without me, you can do nothing. I am the source. I am the true vine. I am what you have your faith in. I am what you attach yourself to. Don't think that just because I've worked a little fruit through you, that now you got it. Don't think that just because I blessed you to witness to somebody and they got saved, that you have anything to do with it. I produce through you because you're attached to me. That's how the Galatian church started off. They started off attached to the true vine. They heard the word of God, put your faith in Jesus Christ, and he will save you. That's how they said, woo, look at me, I need some saving. Hallelujah, let me believe. And they put their faith in Jesus. But as soon as a little fruit came, what was this fruit? Miracles. See, Paul didn't go there preaching to them law. He didn't preach to them, you have to do this, 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 and this, and then God will give you the Spirit. He says, all you got to do is believe.
Amen.
All you have to do is believe, and God will give you everything that you could possibly imagine. You don't have to work for it. You don't have to beat yourself to death for it. Simply believe in God, and he will give it to you. The reason the church has been cut off from blessing for years is because they think they can do it in themselves. If they organize just perfect, if they get everything in order, if they've got the greeter, if they've got the program, if the church is clean and the grass is cut and the schema is paved, and if they say, Lord, I love you, to everybody that walks in, they think that's what's going to do it. But if you forgot the source, if you've left out all that without the Spirit, then it's done in vain. Imagine if they just tried to build a temple in the Old Testament without God's instruction. Do you think God would have honored it? But it was by the instruction by the Spirit that the temple was built. And because it was led of the Lord filled the tabernacle. You want the Lord to fill this church with his presence? All you got to do is believe. You want the Lord to send a revival? All you have to do is believe. You want the Lord to open up the Red Sea in your life? All you have to do is believe. You don't have to get any more right, because all you do is believe and God will make you right. You see, you don't have to get ready for the Lord. All you have to do is say, Lord, help me, I'm ready for you. And he will come to you, he will clothe you. You see, when the Lord clothes people in robes of white, he doesn't say go to Walmart and buy the robe. He doesn't say get out your iron and get out your best garment. He says, I'm going to make you a new person. And a new person gets from a new source. That new source is in heaven in Christ Jesus. We need to have believing power that will change your life. You see, the miracles that Paul worked didn't come because he fasted so much. And the miracles that the apostles did didn't come because they were so great. It became because they had a relationship with God. And when you have a relationship with somebody, somebody's working on the inside, moving on outside. You see, Moses had a relationship with God, and when he was up on Mount Sinai in the presence of the Lord, he didn't know it. But when he came down from the mountain, his face was shining like the sun. He didn't know it. It was a product of his relationship with God. By him being up in the Lord's presence, people said, what is wrong with him? He was clueless to the fact that his face shone. But when you have a relationship with God, there are byproducts that will follow. But if we forget the most important thing, it's our love relationship with the Lord. We will just have a remembrance of what it was like So many people make it wrong. They get saved and they think they can do it themselves. Well, I got saved. Now I can do it. I got saved. Now I can finish it. So Paul's saying, this only what I learned of you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law? No. You can never... The Bible says our righteousnesses are as filthy rags, past, present, and future. There's nothing that we can do that's going to make God any more happy than believing in His Son. What kind of offering can I give to the Lord? Can I go get some vegetables? Can I go kill a lamb now and offer that to God and think He'll be pleased? The only thing that I can offer God is what He's told me to offer. Paul, in Romans chapter 12, he said to present yourselves as a living sacrifice that is holy and acceptable to the Lord. If you come to God and present Him anything else, He don't want it. What I said this morning is the church killer is the flesh. The moment you get in the flesh, the Spirit's going to get out the way. The moment you try to do things in yourself, God says, okay, you can do it. Go right ahead. God will let you fall flat on your face to teach you a lesson. You didn't have nothing to do with it. Where you are in your life right now, whatever prosperity you might get to, you had nothing to do with it. It was simply God. For His own good pleasure, He does what He does. So he said, this only what I learned of you, did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law because you were so holy or by the hearing of faith? Are you so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, you're not made perfect by the flesh? Question mark. It doesn't happen that way. You see, when God starts something, He's not lazy. Sometimes I see them working on the roads, and it'd be taking them months. And there'd be sunny days and ain't nobody out there working, thinking, what are these folks doing? It takes forever to build this road. Ain't no rain, no nothing. They just lazy, don't want to finish the work. We don't serve a God who doesn't finish what He started. That'd be a contradiction to His word. For God to start something and not finish it would be a contradiction to His word. He said, any man, he says, count the cost. How many of you go into war don't see if you have enough to go to war with? Or how do you begin to build something but don't count the cost? And then you're made look foolish if you don't have the means to finish what you started. Let me tell you something this morning. God has got the means to finish what He started. He has not run out of supplies. He has not run out of grace. He's not run out of mercy. He didn't start you to leave you behind. He didn't save you, Tanya, just for you to be saved. He didn't save you just for you to be delivered. There is more that is coming. Angela, He didn't just make a way for you to have a job and to pay your bills. When you exhibit your faith in God, He will show you what faith can do. When you exhibit some faith in God, He will show you what He can do. It only took one man named Abraham to have a little bit of faith to make the whole world blessed through his seed. It says, I'll bring the Redeemer. A little bit of faith goes a long way with God. You love the Lord, watch what the Lord will do. Don't give up on Jesus. Don't let someone tell you, well, all the problems in your life are because of what you're doing right now. I encourage you to say, you know, all the problems in my life are going to come because I'm serving God. All the problems in my life are going to come because I'm keeping my faith in God. And I know that the Bible says that those that live for Him will suffer tribulation. We'll have some persecution. But my trials are coming because I'm believing. My trials are coming because I'm believing. And I encourage you, don't leave the Spirit behind. Don't be foolish, because what God has started, He will finish. Amen. Don't be a Galatian. You can't make the Spirit move. How many of you have thought to yourself, well, if I do this, be honest with yourself. Let me put it in a more realistic perspective. Say you've been sinning. And you've been sinning. And you know good and well that the Lord has told you 1,000 times to stop sinning. And you say to yourself, if I can just stop sinning, the Lord will bless me. If I can just stop sinning, the Lord will move in my life. If I can just get it right, God will give me everything. You know the problem with that statement is? If I. You might have got yourself in sin, but you sure enough can't get yourself out. You might have got yourself in some situations, but let me tell you something, you cannot get yourself out. If you will humble yourself and say, Lord, I'm sorry for my sins and the things that I've done, I repent, watch what God will do. He'll pick you out that ditch and he'll bring it right back to where you need to be. It's not about what you can do. Only thing you can do is mess up. And Jesus is Mr. Clean.
Amen.
He knows how to fix your situation. Our help cometh from the Lord.
Amen.
You can't do not one thing to make your walk with God better.
Amen.
We have to have trust in the Lord. So the Galatians, are you so foolish? You started out at the cross, and now you're trying to be made perfect in your flesh. A dumb thing. Now really, and if you learn, read the rest of Galatians, they're in this pickle because they didn't understand the Word of God. They were in their situation that they were in because they did not understand the Word of God. That's why he called them foolish, dummies. Because you don't understand the Word of God, you were able to be beguiled. You were able to be deceived by these deceivers. And he'll go on in Galatians to break it down to them. Here's why you're deceived. I'm not going to read it all because we've studied this in Bible study. But the bottom line is this. All the promises of God came before the law. Do you realize that? All the promises of God came 400 some years before the law was ever written. When God was speaking to Abraham, and it was accounted to Abraham for righteousness because he believed in God, that's when the covenant was struck. That's when the promises were made. Do you understand that? When he was talking with Moses, when God was talking with Abraham, Abraham had no idea what the law was. There was no law before Abraham. The Ten Commandments hadn't been written. There wasn't an Exodus. There wasn't a Deuteronomy. There was no law when God had spoke to Abraham. It was just believing by faith. Abraham had faith in God, and that's what is required for us to be called children of God. And to be children of Abraham, you have to have faith like Abraham. To believe in God wholeheartedly. And because the promises of God came through Abraham, before the law, how could then the law make void the promises of God, Paul would argue? How could the law have anything to do with the promise of God? For instance, if you had a landlord agreement that said that you were going to pay $500 a month in rent, $500 a month, and that contract was signed, a document made 30 days later or a year later could not change the terms of the agreement. The terms of the agreement made by God and Abraham was to have faith. If you have faith in me, the promise will come. If you have faith in me, the promise will come. And so the law came afterward because people were sinning. And the law came that the sin might appear exceedingly sinful, that people knew their actions were wrong. The law came to prepare the way for Christ. Because you know the law did? The Bible says he that used the law wisely converted souls. The law was to be to prove to you that you're no good. That's what the law was for. To prove to you and me that we are no good. Though if you ask any man, are they a good person? I'm a good person. Do this today. Ask someone out of the booth, do you think you're a good person? Who's going to say no, I'm a dirty rotten dog? How many people do you know that are going to say I'm a dirty rotten dog? Nobody. Because no one wants to view themselves as a dirty, rotten dog. But what the law was meant to do was to show us that we are dirty, rotten dogs. So that we can look and have hope for the Savior. Well, preacher, how's the law going to show me that I'm a dirty, rotten dog? It's simple, Tanya. Before you were saved, did you ever tell a lie?
Yeah.
What do we call people that tell lies?
Liars.
Did you ever use the Lord's name in vain?
Yeah.
What do we call people that use the Lord's name in vain?
Blasphemers.
Did you ever look at a man to lust after him?
Yeah.
What do we call people that look after men or women to lust after them? We call them adulterers. Did you ever not honor your mother and father? We call them disobedience to parents. Did you ever not keep the Sabbath day holy?
Yeah.
You know what that is? That's a transgression. In about 5 seconds, you told me you're a liar, adulterer, a thief, a disobedient to parents. You are no good running off. The law was to show people that your works that you do ain't nothing compared to what God will do. So when Paul was saying later on in Galatians 3, he said the law was our schoolmaster, and when you go to school, you're supposed to graduate, right? To show that you learned something. The moment that a person has graduated from the law, you graduated with a certificate saying, I'm a dirty, rotten dog, and I'm ready to be saved. That's what the law was to do, was to prepare us for the Savior, to show us our need for God's will and God's work in our life. That's what the law was to do. But these people thought the law was to their standard of righteousness. That's how they were tricked. The law is good from the looks of it, but you can't keep it in yourself. And that's how they were tricked. They didn't understand that the promises came before the law ever did. They didn't understand that God does not break his word. So the only thing that will cause death in a Christian's walk with God is your flesh. When you begin to take your trust out of God and put in what you can do in your own self, you're leaving God's plan and going about your own self and doing what you do. You'll find no help there. All you'll find is confusion. The end of the flesh is death, but the end of the spirit is life. He says in verse 4, have you suffered so many things in vain? If it be yet in vain, he therefore that ministered you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, doeth he do it by the works of law or by the hearing of faith? So 3 or 4 times Paul puts it back on faith. 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 Keep your faith in God. If you keep your faith in God the same way you started, God will finish what he's begun. Amen? God will finish what he has begun. Now, to make sure that you understand what the Galatian doctrine will do to you. Again, the Galatian doctrine is adding anything else to Christ. Adding anything else to Christ and him crucified. The Galatian gospel will never work because it adds you into the mix. Jesus says, lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Is that what the Lord said? If you drink any, well, hold on a second. Let's turn to that real quick. Turn to their last chapter of Mark. I want to examine for a second the pre-Galatian doctrine. Last chapter of Mark. Matthew, Mark. Turn with it. I want you all to see the pre-Galatian doctrine, so that you can see how far it's in the midst. Mark chapter 16. In verse 17. Someone read that for me. Mark chapter 16, verse 17 and 18. Someone read that for me.
And these signs will accompany those who believe. In my name, they will drive out demons. They will speak in new tongues. They will pick up snakes with their hands, and when they drink deadly poison, it will not hurt them at all. They will place their hands on sick people, and they will get well.
Amen. In King James, the reason these signs shall follow them which believe in my name, they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. They shall drink any deadly thing, and it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Now, let me tell you something, what the Galatian doctrine will do. Jesus says, in my name. The Galatian doctrine will say, in my name, fast, 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 get all your buddies together. do the trick. Put your faith in Jesus and then put your faith in a doctor. Put your faith in Jesus when the Bible says, believe in me. You'll lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. There's nobody else in the mix. There's no one else there to help. God says, in my name, not in the names of thousands, but the church has gotten so easy to look for other comforts to help their faith. Crutches, you might call it. When God says, just believe in me, do you not think that was what God meant? Do you think that needs more interpretation than what's already there? Do you think it needs some silver lining or some Strong's Concordance to break it down a little bit further? What do you think the church did? What do you think Paul, Peter, what do you think they did? I think they went to the sick, laid hands on them, and they recovered. I don't know about you, did you read the book of Acts? And there was but a shadow that walked by, and there were people that were healed, not because they were so great, but because they had believed in God. When you believe in God, all things are possible. But when you start believing in God and man, you will choke yourself to death. You've got to have one king, one way, one savior, one solution, one provider.
Amen.
You see, the Galatian doctrine twists what God has spoken clearly. Jesus will say, I'm not giving you a spirit of fear. The Galatian doctrine will say, buy a gun and you won't fear. Do you realize what God has done in the Old Testament? Ezra and Nehemiah, when they had gotten permission, let me show you about God. When they had gotten their the right to go and rebuild the temple, the king gave them the treasures that were in the temple, the brazen altar, the lies, the blazer, all the things that were in the temple, the king gave them to go reestablish the tabernacle. And they traveled, I believe it was about 1,000 miles through the desert to get back to where they were going to set up their city. And the king asked them, do you want soldiers? Do you want soldiers to protect you along the way? And Ezra in his bold face said, nope, God's got it. Nope, God's got it. And don't you know they didn't lose not a thing? They didn't lose, and there were bandits and thieves and all sorts of things. They didn't have 911 back then. If you got robbed, you got robbed. But God can protect. But the Galatian doctrine will change what Jesus said. That's what the Galatian doctrine will do. Go ye therefore, making disciples, and tell all nations. That's what Jesus said. The Galatian doctrine will say, sit at home. God will send somebody else. Sit at home. Let them get saved by a televangelist. Let them turn on TBN. Don't go ye therefore. No, no, no. The Galatian gospel will twist what Jesus has said. Jesus made it simple. If any of you lack anything, if you lack anything, you lack wisdom, let him ask God. And he giveth liberally. You see, the Galatian doctrine is present in today's church, and hopefully not in your lives. But when we begin to add things to God's word, we make a mistake. We have to keep our trust in the Lord. Out of the true vine, healings, mercies, love, joy unspeakable, everlasting life, glory, victory, prosperity, everything you could possibly need comes out of the same source. Why would you ever try to get it any other kind of way? Do you understand how wonderful God is? Paul couldn't believe that they had left the most perfect gospel and tried to have a counterfeit. Counterfeit money looks the same, feels the same, but it ain't the same. Counterfeit money gets you locked up. And counterfeit faith will get you locked up in the pit. Let us not be the Galatians. Let us not be removed from the truth. You see, I wish I was back 2,000 years ago when Jesus was around. I could not imagine one of the apostles, they took Jesus at his word. Do you realize that? They took the Lord at his word. And yes, they had questions sometimes, and Jesus would break it down to them a little bit further. But they stuck with Jesus. When all the other people left, when Jesus said, unless you eat flesh of my flesh and bone of my bone, you'll not enter the kingdom of heaven, and with all the multitudes left, he turned to his disciples and said, will you leave me also? His disciples said, where can we go? Where you speak the words of everlasting life. You make a mistake. The church makes a mistake when we leave Jesus and try to perfect it ourselves. Amen?
Amen.
Let's stick to the cross. The word was, who has bewitched you? You see, anybody in your life that tries to come to you and twist the word of God, they're bewitching. They're trying to trick you. So Paul's saying, who did it? Let them be accursed. Who did it? Let them be accursed. Let them be written off. Let them in Greek be anathema. Have no more. Let them be gone. Who did it? Who twisted your mind? Who made you go astray? You had a part to play, but who did it? Name them to cause division among the church, is what the Bible says, so that they can be exposed and not do any more harm. We must learn today, stick with the Lord. In all things, it doesn't matter how big, small, no matter what it is, stick with the Lord. I can't remember the name of the song you played, Tiny, not Tiny, but Angela, what was the name of that song?
Serving the Lord.
Serving the Lord. What's the verse?
We'll work out after a while.
We'll work out after a while. I challenge this church. When it's easy to trust in flesh, and it's easy sometimes to trust in flesh because you can see it, you can touch it. In that trial, ask God to make a way. And he'll make a way. You see, you need to try God. You can't try Buddha because you ain't getting no results. You can't try Muhammad because you ain't getting no results. You can't try man because man will fail you. It is better to have confidence in the Lord. It's better to trust in the Lord than have confidence in man, what Proverbs says. Let us not be bewitched. If Sardis, they were bewitched, they had went a whole other way. They had went away to a gospel that said don't watch, to a gospel that said don't pray, to a gospel that said everything's okay. The power is in Christ. Understand it this morning. The power is in Christ. Now let's see who's the smartest one in the church. Where's Christ? Where's Christ? He said it right. He's two for two. Where's Christ? What did Jesus say? All power in heaven is given unto me. And if all power in heaven is given unto you, under Christ, and Christ is in you, and you are in him. Likewise, all power in heaven has been given unto you through Christ. There's not a serpent. There's not a deadly drink. There's not a demoniac. There's not a leper. There's not a Red Sea. There's not a battle. There's not anything that the Lord cannot make you triumphant over. The power is in Christ. Walk in the Spirit. Stay in the Spirit, and let the Lord bless you. Amen. If you need prayer this morning, if you need salvation this morning, you may come. Power's in Christ.
I hear the sound of a mighty rush. And it's close that it's heavy. I can almost hear the trumpet as game sounds the call. Yeah.
I look around me. I see the seas open. It's time to tell her there are.
I'd ask that you get your offerings together this morning.